Welcome to episode 4. It is cut the check time. It's Friday afternoon, and I'm excited. We're going to have NFL players giving you the inside scoop on gambling picks for the NFL and more each week. Get the best bets in football and hear about stories from our NFL players' career. If you are putting money on the line betting NFL games, you need to be subscribing to Cut the Check. I'm Brian Zwarner. I spent 20 years trading in the capital markets. I'm an expert on relative value, but the man you need to hear from is Jarrell Worthy. Good to have you here, Jarrell.
Man, how you guys doing? I'm excited to be here. Jarrell Worthy, I was a defensive tackle at Michigan State, All-American, second-round draft pick to the Green Bay Packers, has 7 phenomenal years in the NFL. And I'm the guy you need to get in contact with, man, if you're trying to get the check, man. So we're excited to have you guys here today.
You make a big play in the NFL. People tell him he's going to get his check. You listen to us, you're going to get your own check. We're going to give you the best bets each week during the NFL season. We are live here in the preseason now. So we've been throwing you a little bit of bonus action, a little bonus NBA. But, oh, Jarrell, you took a beat, baby, last week on Rockets Thunder. Man. You had Rockets giving 3, and the Thunder pulled out that gritty overtime win. It was not looking hot. What's going on out there?
Man, well, really, you know, the person that came into play last week was Dennis Schroeder, man. He really threw me all the way off last week with his 29 points. I was expecting that in the Chris Paul area. He came up 2 assists shy as well, man. So, I mean, for me personally, you know, these guys were flip-flopping, man. That's why the NBA is literally a flip of the coin some nights.
Yeah, it's hard. And we had James Harden going under 36 points. And with the OT, he managed 38. So it was a rough one, but that's okay. We're going to hold ourselves accountable here on Cut
Absolutely.
The Check. We
Absolutely.
Make a pick on Cut the Check. You're going to know what it is. We're going to track ourselves, and we're going to get it right for you next week. Don't you worry. We are ready for you on Cut the Check. We normally are making NBA picks, but Jarrell, this week, the big news in sports this week, and NBA shutting down early in protest of what's been going on up there in Wisconsin. What are your thoughts?
Well, me personally, I applaud the NBA players and the stance that they took this past week. And, you know, I think it speaks volume when you have the overall collective willing to take a stance. We had an opportunity to see it over in the MLB. You know, with the Mets and the Marlins literally just walking off the field, I thought that was powerful. Kenny Smith on the TNT show having an opportunity to use his platform and finally, you know, standing up with the players. And I think, you know, for me personally, man, if you're seeing human life crying out for help, you're seeing people that you literally have children go to school with, that you share communities with, that are crying out for assistance and help. And realistically for me, I think, you know, we all kind of try to go back to, you know, religion and that we're all good people and that we're all trying to lead this this righteous life. And we all try to, you know, try to do things in the right way. Then, you know, this is a prime opportunity for us to stand up and do the right thing. I think realistically, you know, there's a lot of guys like me that are in the communities that don't have the platform that I have. And so it's an honor to be able to speak for them. It's an honor to be able to carry the torch for a lot of friends and a lot of people in my community that don't necessarily have the voice that me and my colleagues have on this stage. And so I think the NBA did a phenomenal thing, and hopefully it draws a lot of it's already drawn the proper awareness, but now the proper action has to be taking place just because it's going on in a far, I mean, it's very highlighted in today's world, and it's very tough being a parent talking to your children about it. So I do applaud the NBA.
I liked what Jaylen Brown of the Celtics had to say when they were talking about maybe finishing the playoffs right here, right now, sending everybody home. Jaylen Brown, it seems like his message to the other players was, you know, we've got the spotlight on us here down in Orlando. If you go home, what are you going to do? You know, if you go home and you go back to your wives and your families and your kids and you just hang out at your house, no spotlight's coming on this. The NBA really has a chance to make an impact and really get, you know, make something that can be a little bit more lasting. For me, that really resonated as a smart decision by a young NBA player.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the boycotting of the games, but also staying within the bubble to try to find resolution and find ways that you guys can help and use your using the platform that you guys have to help, I think is a very, I think it's a very intelligent decision. And I think that's something that the NBA and the players should look into? You know, obviously, like, you know, basketball is the last thing that should be on these players' minds. I mean, I'm sure there's players that have some type of connection to Kenosha, Wisconsin, whether we have the information about it or not. I mean, there's players and the world is a lot smaller than it used to be. So the connections to these communities are they're a lot easier to access than they have been before. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, the NBA is doing the right thing.
What do you think the NFL season's going to look like with respect to social justice? I mean, obviously the NFL was perceived for many years to be very behind this issue. The way that the lack of embrace of Colin Kaepernick and the message that he was bringing, the way that he's been treated throughout. I mean, how do they get off to the right foot on this when the league goes live again in 2 weeks?
Well, the league gets off to the right foot when you have the biggest stars in the league coming to the front and center and being present within the moment. You know, obviously there were some discrepancies earlier in the year about some comments that Drew Brees has made. You know, we've always highlighted on things that and lack thereof from the premier quarterbacks in the league. We've always known that, you know, how Aaron Rodgers has felt about certain situations. You know, and Tom Brady has spoken up here and there, but, you know, we need these guys that are the faces of the NFL. You know, obviously Patrick Mahomes has ties to this situation, being biracial, and, you know, and he's starting to use his platform and what he can do to create change. But, you know, for me, the NFL has to be in the collective, just like the NBA, the NBA and the MLB guys standing up, walking together side by side, willing to walk away from what we do for a living, for a bigger cause. And the NFL has, you know, we've kneeled down, and, you know, we've had opportunities to create some change in that. But, you know, realistically for us, it has to come, you know, from the biggest stars in the league and having opportunities to get these owners to push the pen. The owners that, I mean, they have opportunities to create change. I mean, they're at the highest levels. I mean, they coerce with, you know, politicians. They have opportunities to, you know, talk with city officials and elected officials. And I mean, these are guys that they're using for fundraisers. So the biggest stars on the stage have to have an opportunity to come out and cause these owners to realistically put their money and their action where their mouth is.
Absolutely. Well, we want to be respectful of the things that are going on in the world and also the issues that are important to our communities. And we're going to stick true to Cut the Checks mission. Absolutely. We're still going to roll Absolutely. Back around and talk about what we talk about normally, which is the betting world. And the other big news out of the NFL this week was Earl Thomas throwing some punches out there
at practice with the Ravens, getting cut effectively.
I mean, when have you seen stuff like this in your career? Who's the most volatile dude you played with?
Well, really, for me personally, I never necessarily had like a volatile person just in from an individual standpoint. But when I first got to Buffalo and the type of atmosphere that I was coming into, being accustomed to Green Bay and having traveled through New England and Kansas City, and these were teams that were always in the playoff mix. These were teams that are always competing for championships. And so, you know, Buffalo, obviously they had a rich history in the past, but when I first got there, realistically, it was more of a just like a volatile environment. You know what I'm saying? Like lack of
a volatile coach, man. He liked it volatile.
Well, realistically, you know, like, so Rex never really got enough credit. So like Rex is a type of coach that needs he needs leadership already instilled in the team. Like if you're coming in like with a guy like Rex and you're looking for him to instill that type of leadership and change what type of culture they are, like Rex is going to initiate that mission, but then he's going to still revert back to who Rex is. And that's really, Rex is a junkyard dog who's like, hey man, I'm ready. Whoever I have, that's who I got, and that's who we're going to, you know, roll with. But if you're trying to build men, try to build guys with character, you needed a different voice in place. And so, like, you know, Sean McDermott was a much different voice than how Rex was. And, you know, Buffalo got a lot of talk about when they start to let some stars go. You know, obviously they traded Sammy Watkins. They had Ronald Darby. They traded out of there. Marcel Darius. You know, you had, you know, Mario Williams before that. And so, you know, realistically, not only from an organizational standpoint, there had to be some changes made, but these were guys that, you know, they had invested in which they wanted to, I guess, they wanted to see a return on their investment in a different way. And so, you know, once they got that new voice in there, they got those guys out of there, and the atmosphere changed. But I'm telling you, man, that negativity, it definitely can run through a locker room. If you don't have the right presence in the locker room, it can run through a locker room.
And what does that need to keep that under control? That's got to come from veteran leadership on the team. That's not the coaches that get a guy like Earl Thomas on board, right?
Yeah, it comes from the veterans. I mean, usually you have, you know, guys, you know, whether that's the specialist that's been there long term, you have the long term offensive lineman that's been there, you know, whether that's a linebacker and or quarterback, somebody that has the type of prestige in the organization. So you could pull a guy to the side and like, hey, man, like, what's going on? Like, first and foremost, you're a leader for our team. This isn't you. You know, obviously Earl's been dealing with a lot of things over the last year and a half, you know, and I just personally think that's a reflection of stuff that's like off the field. Like, you know, before we've never heard, you know, of Earl Thomas ever before in the spotlight. You know, he's never been in trouble. He's always been an upstanding citizen and gentleman, and a guy that we look to for as a role model, obviously with, you know, him coming back from the certain type of injuries that he's returned from. And so, like, you know, this situation right here, man, I think it's just more of a reflection of some things that is affecting him more so off the field than it has to do with the Ravens organization. But realistically, shout out to Ozzie Newsome, man, because he really proved and showed that it doesn't necessarily matter what type of player you are, you're not bigger than the team. And, you know, for a guy that's been number one in his position over the last 5 years, and, you know, for a general manager to walk in there and tell him, like, hey, I got to let you go, you know, when this guy is literally still at the prime of his career, I mean, it says a lot about the organization and the confidence you have to build good football players, but it also says a lot of just about the character that you guys have that you want the Baltimore Ravens to represent.
Yeah, look, you had the, you know, this Ravens defense was elite last year. They put up a crazy 14-2 record. They were outscoring guys, but they also were one of the best scoring defenses in the league. Earl Thomas, like you said, tops in his position. You had the Ravens earlier back on August 7th. They were your Super Bowl pick at 6.5-1. Still like the pick? Still think the Ravens are the team to beat in the NFL?
Yeah, I do. You know, for a couple of reasons. The reason number one being that, you know, even though Earl Thomas was a great addition for this defense last year, they still were middle of the road as far as interceptions last year. They had a lot of defensive touchdowns, but also the addition of Peters coming over from LA really helped their defense out a lot. So him having a second year to thrive in this Ravens system, I really look for him to improve in the secondary. So I don't necessarily think that there's going to be any lackluster back there, you know, as far as their coverage is concerned. Now, obviously, we have a new guy. They're going to have a new guy in Deshaun Elliott coming back there. He's a third-year guy. He was on the IR his first year, second year, only played like 6 or 7 games. And so they really believe in this guy, and like listening to his interviews, he's very confident in himself. So we look forward to seeing, you know, whether or not he's going to be able to compete. But I mean, I still like the Ravens, you know, solely on Calais Campbell, 31.5 sacks coming over from the Jaguars. He's averaged 30 sacks over the last 3 years. So this is a guy we know that can help improve this defense. And the Ravens last year were bottom of the league. They were around 20 to 21 last year in sacks. So realistically, even though Matt Judon had a great year overall as a defense, they weren't really getting to the pass rush, I mean, to the quarterback as effectively. So Calais Campbell helps with that, and that's why I still have the Ravens going for my Super Bowl favorites.
Now, the division, NFC North, they're going to be playing the NFC East, so they got some chump teams out there. They got the AFC South a little bit more balanced. Ravens were 14-2 last year. Steelers at 8-8. I know you like both these teams. The odds makers are saying Ravens over-under wins at 11.5, Steelers at 9.5. Give us your over-under picks on Ravens and Steelers and who's taking this division.
Man, it's really a tough call just because, like, you know, normally in this division, it always comes down to who has the game late in the season because, unfortunately, these are teams that are always competing for the playoff. I mean, well, not unfortunately, but fortunately, these are teams that are always competing for the playoffs, and these are teams that are always in the hunt. So it always comes down to that last game. And predominantly the home team has won majority of those games, well over 60%. And so when I'm looking at this one, I think Baltimore goes on the road later in the year to play the Steelers. Now, out the gate, I wanted to take the Baltimore Ravens, but now statistically looking at how well the home teams have favored in the past, I'm gonna trickle over to that Pittsburgh and I'm gonna favor them only slightly, just because I like the home team winning percentages really sway me in that direction.
You think they can both go over? Ravens over 11.5, Steelers over 9.5? Could both these teams go 12-4 this season?
Yes, indeed. I think the Ravens more so will be the 12-4 team, just because the culture, the familiarity that they have. You have Lamar Jackson coming back for another year. They added to their running back, their rushing attack, and defense is solid. As far as the Pittsburgh, I don't see them going 12-4, but I do see them going over 9.5 wins. I can possibly give them 10, possibly even give them 11 wins, just solely based off of tradition, history. And I don't necessarily – in their strength of schedule, their toughest – they don't really have a lot of tough road games this year that are as far as the NFC East is concerned. They're at the Giants in week one, and so that's going to be, I think that's going to be a fairly confident, thing for them as far as a confidence builder. And Big Ben coming back, they didn't necessarily improve defensively this offseason as far as the Giants are concerned. So I think I'm going to take the Steelers at plus 9.5.
All right, cut that check. Get that Steelers at over 9.5. Little more cautious view from Jarrell Worthy here on Ravens at that 11.5 number. Still leaning towards the over, but that's what we got. We're going to see what we've got on the NFC West coming up next. But Cut the Check is sponsored by Vigit, the sports betting social network, changing the way America bets on sports. Bet on your favorite games and teams for free. Win real prizes and flex on your friends. Enter the 1 million Vigit coin NFL season over-under challenge and prove you are the best sports bettor in America. Download the app now and enter promo code CUTTHECHECK to start winning today. Can you Vigit? All right, girl, we said we were going to go over to the NFC West. This season, NFC West matches up with the very weak AFC East. You got some easy victories at the bottom there. And the NFC East, relatively easy schedules for these guys other than what they got to deal with in their own. You got Niners going off at 10.5 wins this season. Seahawks over under at 9. I know you're hot on Russell Wilson. He was your MVP pick. What you got going on in the NFC West this season?
Man, so the NFC West this year, I'm still going to take the Seahawks over. I'm still going to take them over 9 wins, though. I like the Seahawks this year. I like what Russell Wilson is going to bring to the table. Like I said before, they have a lot of young hitters on their team that's going to become very familiar in a Pete Carroll system for another year. And so I really look to improve. I'm really going to like their chances once they go out into free agency and sign another big-time receiver, which they are looking to do at this point in time right now. So once they have an opportunity to sign another big-time receiver, whether that's, Flash Gordon or whether that is A.B., Antonio Brown, I look for those odds to improve. As far as the Niners, man, at 10.5, I'm going to hold on the 10.5 just because of the increased talent within the division. I think, I think the Rams are going to struggle this year, but they're going to be competitive. But also, I think the Cardinals are going to be a very big dark horse, man.
Kyler Murray. He was a guy you're looking to see a big leap with DeAndre Hopkins out there on the outside.
I'm telling you guys, man, like, look for this kid to really come out and have an outstanding year. The way that the offense is set up and the way that the routes, the scheme is predicated, it's literally for him like riding a bike. So for a guy like that, that had success last year and they were middle of the road, to get arguably the best receiver in football in DeAndre Hopkins, a guy that doesn't drop any passes, and you add him with another guy that doesn't drop any passes, I mean, you can only hope for success for this team. And so I think
video game numbers this season from Kyler Murray.
Offensively, video game numbers, the Cardinals are going to be outstanding. Defensively, they still have to improve, but that's the only reason why I'm going to hold on the Niners, because I think the Cardinals really played the Niners hard last year.
All right, Jarrell, I took Greg Kittle in my fantasy football draft last night. Did I make a mistake? Or is he going to be able to put up big numbers again this year as TE1?
Absolutely. No, he's going to be phenomenal. Now, Kittle's a go-to. He's a guy that's looking for a big-time extension. He's a guy that's going out there that's really putting the numbers to the test. And, you know, he wants to be, you know, up there with the Travis Kelce's and the Gronkowski's. He had a great opportunity and a phenomenal season last year. So I definitely would stick with Kittle as your first tight end.
Good, good. I feel good about that. Well, look, this podcast, Cut the Check, is also sponsored by Thrive Fantasy, a daily fantasy sports and esports app for player props. Thrive Fantasy's games are the easiest to play since they only ask you about the superstars. You select 5 or 10 individual player over-under props on stats like passing yards in the NFL or points in the NBA and play in a tournament for cash prizes. Thrive has awarded over $1 million since launching. Use promo code BTG, that's Beyond the Game, BTG, and receive an instant $20 match on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download the Thrive Fantasy app or sign up at thrivefantasy.com and prop up today. Drell, we got your picks from this week. You're saying take the Steelers the over at 9.5 wins. Ravens cautiously the over at 11.5. Seahawks take the over at 9. Yes, Niners, you're going to fade that 10.5.
Yeah, I'm going to fade that. I'm going to fade.
All right. All right. We got that. And Neil, look, tune in, folks. Follow us on our social channels, BTG Media Net on IG or Twitter. Maybe we can coax a little bonus NBA social media pick out of Jarrell once we see what the schedule looks like and the NBA gets back. We'll be flipping over to talk about a couple of other divisions. Jarrell, who are you looking at? You got some thoughts already. We'll be going over and checking out maybe that some of the NFC East. That's going to be a tough division to find a winner in there, right?
Well, to be honest with you, the NFC East is always a toss-up, man. I mean, even though you want to throw away Washington, you know, you want to throw away the Giants. You know, they were competitive last year. Once the Giants had an opportunity to switch over quarterbacks, man, they were highly competitive. So, you know, like I said, man, Saquon Barkley and, you know, Daniel Jones are going to put up numbers. I think they're going to be improved. But, you know, it's realistically the Cowboys or the Eagles that are going to be contending. And whoever can stay healthy on both teams will definitely have the opportunity to win the division at the end.
All right. Well, if you want that pick on the NFC East, we'll be doing over-unders in the NFC East and one of the other AFC divisions next week. Make sure you tune in. We want you to listen, subscribe, rate our show wherever you listen to your podcast. Drell, any final words for the audience out there as we wrap up Cut the Check episode 4?
Realistically, guys, we're so excited to have you guys subscribe to our podcast. We appreciate all the love and support that you guys give us. Continue to strive for change and create new opportunities for us to become equal and continue to push forward, guys. We are all together in this.
Perfect. Thank you very much for listening. Cut the Check. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate it.